Let's pray. Great God, we give you thanks for the time here together, hoping that you will inspire us, either because of the words you hear or in spite of them. Amen. Could I have the first slide, please? If you can't read the writing on this particular picture, it says, if anyone ever asks you, what would Jesus do? Remind them that flipping over tables and chasing people with a whip is within the realm of possibilities. It's a joke, sort of. Could I have the next slide? How many of you have heard of the punk band Pussy Riot? Yeah. Ooh, two. Okay. Yes? Okay, I see a couple of nods up here. It's a Russian feminist protest punk group. And they became famous in the West because five of them went to church. This is how they went to church. And when they went to the Orthodox Cathedral of Christ the Savior, where a service was going on, they raced to the front and sang a rude song about the ways the Russian Orthodox Church has become complicit with Vladimir Putin and the Russian government in oppressing the people and profiting from the economic and political corruption. The head of the Russian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Kirill I, said the performers were doing the work of the devil. And so, in March of 2012, three of the group members were identified and arrested. They were denied bail and held in custody like murderers until their trial. And there, the three members were convicted of hooliganism motivated by religious hatred, and each was sentenced to 2 years imprisonment. Two others escaped from Russia. Later in interviews, some of the members of the group say they are Orthodox Christians. They also say that they have been inspired in their actions by the actions of Christ and his disciples, what Jesus preached, but also what Jesus did. To be fair, all these women did was sing a song. Jesus, on the other hand, turned over tables, tossed money in the dirt, whipped people out of the temple, and drove the animals away and left behind a mess. So let's understand why Jesus was so offended. Could I have the next slide, please? The center of the temple worship at the time was blood sacrifice. Perhaps you remember that when Jesus was born, Joseph made a sacrifice in the temple of two doves because that was all he could afford. But the wealthy sacrificed goats, sheep, bullocks. Can I have the next slide? In order to be worthy of being sacrificed, the animal had to be perfect and had to be declared so by the priest. So instead of accepting a goat that you had raised yourself, usually you had to buy an animal from the temple at inflated prices. And not only that, you couldn't use Roman coins to buy a sacred animal. You could only use temple coins. So you had to go to the money changers, like going to exchange your money for American dollars when you travel. But the rates the money changers used weren't set by a global market. They were set by the temple and the money lenders. At every step in this process, the system worked to rake off money from the people. The whole courtyard of the temple had become a marketplace of animals and money changers and a place for slaughter. And people had to pay and pay and pay. Now, it's really important to remember that Jesus was offended because he was one of the people. He was a Jew. He was raised in the faith. He was brought to the temple as a boy when he was 13, in the same way that young men are brought into the synagogues today at that age. He was immersed in the scriptures. He spoke of the God of Abraham and Isaac, the God who led Moses in the desert and who brought home the Israelites from exile. He wasn't an outsider, a Christian coming to tell Jews what to do. He was a Jew, a good Jew, calling on his own people to live in a different way. We know quite well that what Jesus saw was not unique to Jews and Judaism. All religions have to guard against abuse of the faithful. That's why Martin Luther struggled with the Catholic Church and spoke against exactly the same kind of marketplace. Because in Luther's time, you could buy forgiveness. You could pay to get your relatives out of hell. And for this, Luther was excommunicated and condemned to death. But he survived because he had the protection of a great prince. Luther also was not commenting from outside. He was a devout Roman Catholic, a priest who believed profoundly not just in God and Christ, but in the role of the church in the community. But in the process of calling the church to account, he too left a mess. He nailed things to the doors of churches and scattered tracts and the Bible in English. German. He called nuns and monks to leave their monasteries and to stop working for the church. Jesus and Luther were not just making religious statements. Their actions were highly political. Jesus was demanding justice for the people, for equality of worship, for equal access to the halls of the temple. He was asking for a change in the whole way that the economy of Israel worked, because the whole economy, the justification for the power of the rich over the poor, was through temple Judaism. And anyone who advocates for political and economic change, as we know, is at risk in all nations, including ours, at all times. The change that Jesus asked for was not just a change in the way people worshiped for an hour on a given day. It was a change in worship that required a change to the whole economic system. And the same was true of Martin Luther, who wanted a change in the whole economy of the time. Imagine how much money is at stake if you can sell forgiveness of any sin at a price. And in Russia, Pussy Riot was speaking about corruption and the church's role in supporting violent economic oppression. They sang a song in a church and they were sent to prison for it. Christ did not come to reinforce the structures of society that are already in place, to keep people divided, to keep those who are comfortable, comfortable, and ignore the rest. He didn't come to force people into poverty in order to be able to pray. Christ did not even come to build churches or temples or cathedrals. There's something else to remember in this story. People were very angry. They craved the return to a familiar order, even when they knew themselves that what they were doing was wrong. Even many of the poor craved a return to the familiar order so they knew what was what. Jesus wasn't the first to comment on those corrupt practices, and he wouldn't be the last. In fact, during this period, Jews fought outright battles with one another over the issue and other issues of the practices of the temple. John describes this as the first act of Jesus' ministry. But Matthew says it was one of the last, one of those that convinced the authorities that Jesus had to die. And here is the irony of this story. By the time the story was written down, the temple was gone. I'm going to ask you to skip a couple of slides there, I think. There. Thank you. The temple was gone. It was utterly destroyed. Jews had rebelled against Rome, but also fought against one another. And there was a short and terrible period of civil war and violent Roman response. And Jerusalem was burned to the ground. You can change the slide. The temple was torn apart. By the time John was writing about Jesus making a mess in the temple, most Jews had left or were leaving Israel, banned by Rome from living in their own land. The great diaspora had begun, and Jews would not have access to that temple site again for almost 1,800 years. The arguments over how you should worship in the temple weren't even relevant anymore, and yet people had died for it. The temple was gone, and Jews had left, and the whole structure of temple worship was gone. All the ways in which Jews worshipped also changed. Many of the practices of worship moved into things you could do privately, secretly, in your home. Prayers, reading, storytelling, sharing the story of God and their people. Jesus the troublemaker, the angry man. Can you go to the next slide? That's what's left. This is not the Jesus we usually imagine in the pictures, carrying a lamb and being very calm. So here's the question I leave you with. What is it that we are doing that keeps people poor, that we know needs to be changed, but we're afraid to make a mess? Let us pray to God in Jesus for the strength to stand up for that. Amen.